Welcome to the Making the Grade conference call. My name is Christine, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Kim Glass, Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance. You may begin.
Hi, this is Kim Glass. I'm the Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance. I'm going to keep my remarks short because we are joined by many champions for infrastructure on the call today, including several leaders of the House and Senate and several leaders from the labor and environmental movements. America's infrastructure is the backbone of our economy, and we've been ignoring it for far too long. And to keep America competitive in the global marketplace, we need action now to repair and modernize our infrastructure systems. If we fail to do so, we risk being left behind. We are also at risk for devastating impacts like what is happening in the Gulf region in recent weeks with Hurricane Harvey. And unfortunately, those who are in the destructive path of Hurricane Irma right now, we have an infrastructure system unprepared to dealing with our climate change problem. Our hearts go out to those who have been impacted and will be impacted by these tragic events. And we urge policymakers to make climate change a priority by both reducing emissions and by making our infrastructure more resilient. Just very quickly, we are releasing a report today called Making the Grade 2.0, Investing in America's Infrastructure to Create Quality Jobs and Protect the Environment. This report is an update of a report we released in 2014, which utilizes data from the sectors graded by the American Society of Civil Engineers Infrastructure Report Card released earlier this year. You can find our report online at bluegreenalliance.org/making the grade 2. The report finds that investing the estimated $2.2 trillion in America's infrastructure over the next 10 years in these sectors will improve our grade from a D-plus to a B overall. It has the potential to support and create an additional 14.5 million job years, and job years is a job that employs a person full-time for 1 year. This has tremendous benefits to the U.S. economy and will add $1.66 trillion to our GDP over the next 10 years. So the return on investment is profound. We look at a variety of systems that need upgrading from water to road to our schools. This report also gives recommendations to ensure those jobs are quality jobs, like adhering to Davis-Bacon prevailing wage provisions and strong Buy American policies that will help ensure our economy receives the most benefits from the investments that taxpayers make. Beyond the economic benefits to workers, increasing global competitiveness and growing our economy are smart investments that pay dividends for our environment and for our country. Repairing America's infrastructure will reduce air and water pollution, including the emissions driving climate change, as well as protecting us from increasing weather catastrophes like Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and exposure to chemicals that are hazardous to human health. And with that, I understand, Leo, that Senator Carper and Senator Duckworth are both on, so I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Look, it's my pleasure to introduce Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois. She's been a good friend of the Blue-Green Alliance, and she's been a champion for repairing America's infrastructure system. And she serves on many important committees in the Senate that will be focusing on the rebuilding of the infrastructure. And just as I turn it over to Senator Duckworth, I want to make the comment that we see now the results of two hurricanes in a row, how weak our infrastructure is, and we didn't seem to learn anything from Sandy. So we have a lot of work to do to get from a D to a B, and we have to start soon. So I'll turn it over to Senator Duckworth.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be on today, and very much an honor to be invited to join each of you on this call. Investing in our nation's infrastructure is one of the most important things we can do for our economy and our working families and for the strength of our nation. And it's no secret that in Illinois, much like many other states across the country, we are in need of a major upgrade when it comes to infrastructure. It's why when I got to the Senate, I made sure it was on all the infrastructure-related committees. This is a priority for me. In fact, the American Society of Civil Engineers recently gave our nation's infrastructure a D+. That's not passing, and the BGA's Making the Grade 2.0 provides a template on how to get a B over the next decade, but it's going to take investment. For some, this is a real wake-up call, but for millions of Americans who get to work every day on crumbling roads, inconsistent trains and buses, or have had a water main break in their neighborhood, this grade comes as no surprise. But now we actually have a chance to fix this. This is our time to make common sense investments in our nation's infrastructure. So that's why I'm working every day as a member of the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation and the Committee on Environment and Public Works, and I'm working to make sure that we make those investments in our infrastructure. By modernizing our highways, our transit systems, our water systems, we actually have the opportunity to create millions of good union jobs in Illinois and all across the country. These are jobs that hardworking families depend on that help keep our state and our nation competitive. And it really isn't a partisan issue because it's just basic common sense. It's also key to protecting and preserving the natural resources we all depend on. Creating more sustainable transit and power systems goes a long way to reducing energy costs, improving public health, and preserving the quality of our air, water, and farmlands that are so important to the well-being of American families. The longer we wait to repair and modernize these systems, the more it's going to cost us in the long run. And bottom line, fixing America's infrastructure system is an opportunity to boost the middle class, build up American manufacturing, support local union jobs, and at the same time, reducing our climate impact. I'm really grateful for all the work many of you are doing to help make this a reality, and I'm going to keep doing my part in the Senate to improve our infrastructure, preserve our environment, and strengthen our nation. So I just want to close by saying thank you so much for allowing me to join you today. And I think I'm supposed to hand this back to Kim. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Duckworth, thank you very much. I would just add one point before we turn it over to Senator Carper, and that is that we need to make sure that the work is not only done union, but that we buy domestically made products. So I'll turn it over now to Senator Carper, who is from Delaware, and Senator Carper has been a ranking member of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, and he leads the Democrats in an effort to protect public health and the environment, as well as efforts to repair America's infrastructure. Senator Carper, the floor is yours.
The floor or the phone, Leo? It's in any event, I'll take either one. Good. Yeah. Good to hear your voice, my friend. And it's good to be with Tammy Duckworth. I understand that Congresswoman Debbie Dingell is joining us on this call. Is she?
I am, Tom. Good to
Debbie, always good to be with you, Debbie. And to I don't know if Kathleen Rest is on the call and Jim Boland, Randy Weingarten, and I think do we have another senator or Congressman Sherry Abusos from Illinois? Is she on the call?
Going to be.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, it's great to be with all of you. I've focused for years as governor, now as a U.S. senator, on trying to help people. I think all of us who serve here, that's what our bottom line is. I think the best way you can help people is make sure they have a job. And, you know, you hear presidents, you hear senators, congresspersons, you hear mayors talking about the jobs they created. We don't create jobs. What we do is create a nurturing environment for job creation. We do that in a variety of ways, trying to make sure that we have a workforce that's trained, prepared, ready to do the work that employers need. We need public safety. We need common sense regulations. We need a tax code that is bearable. We need access to capital and all kinds of things that contribute to job creation, to that nurturing environment. A big one, a very big one, as we know, is infrastructure, not just roads, highways, bridges. I'm privileged to serve as a senior Democrat on the Environment and Public Works Committee. We have jurisdiction over roads, really roads, highways, bridges. I also serve on the Finance Committee, which is responsible for figuring out how to pay for this stuff. And the problem we have right now, we're underinvesting. And the reason is because we're making other decisions to invest money in other ways. Sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it does not. And we need to be making wiser decisions. Sometimes I I like to say, if things are worth having, they're worth paying for. And George Voinovich and I, who are both governors together and later senators together, proposed a user fee approach to funding roads, highways, bridges that those who use them, people in business use them, would pay for them through by restoring the purchasing power of the user fees, gas, diesel tax, to what they should be if they'd gone up with the rate of inflation. Eventually, I hope we'll do something like that. But in the meantime, we're focused on the East Coast and experiment with something called vehicle miles traveled. And out in Oregon for a couple of years, they've been working on road user charges. 10,000 families participate in that. It's like a vehicle miles travel, but it's for a limited population. But my hope is that during the experimenting we're doing on the East Coast, we can kind of combine sort of the technology with highway speed easy pass and combine that with what they're doing in Oregon on road user charge and pave the way to the better funding, much better funding, by having a vehicle miles traveled approach that works in the 21st century. Some people, meeting with the administration, they basically, the president said he's going to run, put up a huge investment in infrastructure, support that. And what he's actually proposing to do is to, when you actually look at the numbers, actually spend less money in this area rather than more. He's proposing to turn to public-private partnerships. That's all well and good. There's some places where they make sense. But when I met with the Secretary of Transportation earlier this year, she said that's the major way that they're going to pay for infrastructure investments. I said, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, we've only done about 30 of those in the last, I think, 30 years, and that's not by itself the solution. And then she said, well, maybe we'll do a lot of work in terms of streamlining. And I said, we did streamlining in our 2012 legislation or 2015 legislation, and can we do some more? Probably can, but that in and of itself isn't going to solve this problem. We need to invest real money. Not just borrow money, not just put it on a nation's credit card, real money. And it takes real courage to do that. States are doing it. They're raising their user fees, and they're actually getting reelected at the same time that they're raising real money. And I think people expect us to do our jobs. They know this is important. And I'm thrilled to be not only on the Environment and Public Works Committee as a senior Democrat, but also to be on the Finance Committee, where we actually have to pay for things and come up with pay for. So I look forward to working with this coalition, frankly, any willing partner that we have. This is hugely important stuff, and I think the time has come for us to put up, or as we say in Delaware, put up or shut up. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Senator. Kim, is Congresswoman Bustos on?
Yes, she is on. So can you introduce her?
Sure. Welcome, Congresswoman Bustos. Pleased to have you here. We know that you represent the 17th District in Illinois and that you've been a strong supporter of the Buy America provisions that we so desperately need, and that you're playing an important role in fighting for renewing our infrastructure in the country. So without further ado, thank you for coming, and now the phone is yours.
All right. Well, I am so happy to be here, and thanks for mentioning that. I don't know if Senator Duckworth is still on, but I want to thank her for her nice talk with this group. She and I were actually elected the same time, and obviously she's moved up in the world, but we're really, really glad to have her on the Environment and Public Works, Energy, Natural Resources, Commerce Committees in the Senate, because she is well situated to be this great champion for us on infrastructure. She has a friend over here in the House, as do all of you on this call, because I'm fortunate enough to be serving on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. That's something I've been on since I was first elected. And if I may just to lay the groundwork a little bit, my district is the 17th District of Illinois. And just to describe it, it is a very large district, 7,000 square miles. The entire western border of my district is the Mississippi River. We go about a fourth of the way down the state. The northern border is the state of Wisconsin. So that gives you a little bit idea geographically. Goes all the way into central Illinois. But in addition to those being the borders of my congressional district, we also have some of the best farmland anywhere in the world. And I would contend that we also have some of the hardest, most talented workers. And that's because we are one of the heaviest labor districts in the entire country. We have 90,000 labor households. And, you know, I'm a product a family filled with those who served in organized labor, currently serve in organized labor, and very proud of that. I'm one of those that grew up with my dad telling us from the time we were really little that if it weren't for organized labor in the Democratic Party, we wouldn't have a middle class. So those are my roots. But that lays the groundwork for my service on the Transportation Committee, because we know that not just in my own region that I serve, but also throughout the country, that our infrastructure is crumbling. We are certainly all over the place in dire need of repairing our roads and bridges and locks and dams and airports and rail and just all of that. So I am really grateful to all of you on this call, to the Blue-Green Alliance, for bringing attention not only to this challenge that we face, but also the opportunity that it presents for families all over our country, for our workforce, to put people back to work, for getting that $2 return for every $1 that we invest. And on the campaign trail, we all endured President Trump for a year and a half or so, but one of the things I think where we can certainly be on the same page with him is that he was talking about a $1 trillion investment in our infrastructure. So, obviously we're still waiting on details of that plan, but I have said from day one that I will work with him as long as he's fighting for the people we're fighting for, and that he supports workers and supports our, in my case, I fight every day for small towns in rural America because that's much of what my district is made up of. So just let me give you a quick example, I think, to bring this home that was specific to my congressional district. I think you can relate to this because this is something that we will be contending with in the coming years. But I have a town in my district called Galesburg. It's not a big town, about 30,000 people. It's in the northwestern part of Illinois, but it actually faced a major issue. And that was because from the water main to people's homes, there were these solid lead water pipes that was delivering water to kids and to moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And so as a result of that and probably many other factors, more than 14% of the kids in that community who were tested had elevated lead levels. And so we took immediate action, and we were able to get about $4 million in federal funding through the State Drinking Water Revolving Fund that is actually federal funds administered by the state. That's replacing about somewhere about a third to a half of those lead pipes in that city. But that is just one small town in one county throughout this entire nation. And we know that the proposition of replacing these kind of lead pipes all over the country will amount to hundreds of millions it's going to end up being billions of dollars to replace that. So, add that along with all of the other construction projects that we're going to be looking at. But it is really the impetus of why I introduced the bipartisan Buy America for Drinking Water Extension. That basically calls for only American-made iron and steel that are used in these kind of projects that I just mentioned. So I just see it as one common sense step that we can take to address our infrastructure needs that will lead to hopefully better health, that will lead to good paying jobs. But now it's time to we got to get down to business. This is only $4 million for one town. We've got to literally look at trillions of dollars in investment, and I really like the report where you talk about $2.25 trillion investment in our U.S. infrastructure. So anyway, I guess more than anything, I just want to say I'm here to work with you. I also look forward to working with Senator Duckworth on the Senate side, and please look at our office as one you can turn to as a partner in addressing infrastructure needs. And I very much thank you for this opportunity to talk with you and look forward to working together as in the coming weeks, months, and years.
Thank you very much.
Kim?
Thank you so much, Congresswoman, and thanks for being such a champion on these issues. Our next speaker is the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten. Randy,
so, Kim, I'm going to sign off because I've got to go vote.
Oh, Okay, sorry, Congresswoman Dingell.
All right.
Apologies.
Do you want to go before me, Congresswoman?
I think she already signed off.
Oh, that's too good.
So apologies.
Okay.
There, Randy, go ahead.
So thank you, Kim, and let me make a few brief comments. So everyone expects me to talk about how we need to renovate and retrofit our American school buildings. Many
I'll do that for
built,
you.
Yeah, with the 50s and the 60s, and they educated baby boomers at the time that we're now educating millennials. I was just in a fantastic career tech ed school in Chicago, the Prosser School, where there are shops that need to still be retrofitted, but they are training kids to get jobs of today and tomorrow. And Jimmy and Leo, you would be really proud of these machine shops and of the HVAC shops, but these are the kinds of things that we need to do. We need to make sure that schools are not just energy efficient and not just, you know, have solar energy and all these other and retrofitted in terms of the internet, but that they have the technology that they need for the jobs of today and tomorrow. And we have had skin in this game for a long time. To Senator Coons's point, at the end of the day, it can't just be private-public partnerships. The union movement has been investing billions of pension funds as part of private-public partnerships, but that does not do what we need when you have a $2.5 trillion need to move our infrastructure and to deal with crumbling bridges and roads and subway systems and schools. We need to have the public funding for infrastructure. That will create jobs. That will create infrastructure. It's a win-win, and that will create revenue in cities and towns across the country. So we need this. We see this in our schools all the time. It can't just wait for an A train to derail in New York City. We can't just wait for the effects of the storms that we're seeing right now. We can't just wait to deal with the Flint or the Detroit school systems where they are cold in the winter and warm in the summer, and they should be the opposite. We have to invest in infrastructure right now, and the AFT is going to do everything we can to make sure we do that investment, and we do it union, and we do it by American, and we do it in a way that the men and women of the American labor movement will build well, build quickly, and ensure that the infrastructure is fantastic for Americans.
Thank you so much, Randy. Up next is United Steelworkers International President and co-founder of the Blue-Green Alliance, Leo Gerard. Leo?
Thanks very much, Kim, and thanks to all the previous speakers. Unlike Randy, I am going to say something about the schools. And in fact, it's been that and retrofitting buildings has been one of my pet projects. And I don't think there's enough people that realize that more than half of our schools in America are more than 60 years old. And many of them are energy inefficient. And in fact, they all need retrofitting so they get the best quality air handling equipment so that the kids can get the freshest air in their schools as well. In addition to that, I think it's important that we understand when we talk about infrastructure, all that we're talking about. Obviously, roads and bridges comes to people's mind. Retrofitting public buildings and schools comes to people's mind. But we've obviously got the energy grid that is inefficient. It loses energy as it transports energy on the grid. And in fact, in some cases, the grid is so old that it'll lose 15 to 20% of the energy as it's being transported because it's got still mechanical switching devices. We got our water treatment facilities, our water pipelines. The president of the Utility Workers Union points out that we lose a billion gallons of water a day, leaking from water lines. And this is water that's already been treated, so it's, again, a waste of money, so that we have a lot of that to do. And to give you a couple of examples, retrofitting the power grid to get from where it currently is to a B would create roughly, over 10 years, would create relatively 1 million jobs. Tripling the rate of repairs and upgrades to our natural gas lines would create 2 million jobs over 10 years, and that's not yet including our water lines and our water treatment plants. Getting our roads and transits up to a B level with over 10 years would save 6.6 million jobs or create 6.6 million jobs. Getting our passenger freight system, every system that we have on infrastructure is in badly need of either repair, upgrade, or modernization. And again, we see the results through Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and the destruction that's going to be brought upon us that is going to cost in the neighborhood of $1 trillion when it's all said and done, let alone the disasters that are going on within families and being dislocated and everything else. I also want to make the point that I would hope that we can drive through to Congress, both Republicans and Democrats. And my comment to that is, have we learned any lessons? And I talk about infrastructure. I want to give an example of the Bay Bridge from San Francisco to Oakland that was manipulated so that it would be made with Chinese steel and Chinese parts. It was roughly 6 years delayed and almost $10 billion over budget to get done. We look at the retrofitting and what went on after the Hurricane Katrina, where the Chinese wallboard was brought in, only to find out that it was all full of chemicals and had to be replaced, and drove the cost up more. My point in saying those things is that I think it's important that as we're going to spend taxpayer dollars, that the highest extent possible, we use American-made products, and that we, if we're going to do trade, we do the trade with the countries that don't cheat. And maybe we can't meet all our demand, but we shouldn't do it with the countries that cheat and put our workers out of work. They only export their products. They're exporting unemployment. The opportunity now to rebuild our infrastructure is greater than it's ever been. The need is greater than it's ever been. And the jobs that it would create are badly needed, in some cases more so than they've ever been. And we've got a middle class that is hungry for good family-supporting jobs. And to put in another plug, recent polling showed that 62% of the population want unions. And so that we need to look at how we build union and install union. So with that, Kim, I'm pleased and proud that the steelworkers are co-founders of the Blue-Green Alliance, and I'm proud of our work that we've done on Infrastructure 2.0.
Thank you so much.
So turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The next speaker is Kathleen Rest, the Executive Director of Union of Concerned Scientists. Kathleen?
Thanks, Kim. I'm delighted to be here today and to agree with all of the speakers in the report that investing in infrastructure is a win-win-win. It creates jobs, it protects our communities from pollution and extreme weather events, other hazardous conditions, it saves money. But more good news, these kinds of investments will also pay dividends for our environment and for human health. We've heard some of our speakers talk about how we're falling behind on infrastructure investments, and that has led to contaminated water, underfunded and unsafe transit systems, an antiquated electrical grid that can't keep up with the advances that we're making in clean energy. And when we ignore upgrading our infrastructure, it affects all of us, but it especially affects our most vulnerable communities. Repairing America's infrastructure to be more resilient and more efficient will reduce air and water pollution, including the emissions that are driving climate change. And it will also help protect our communities from the impacts of the extreme weather events that we're experiencing right now. We are woefully underprepared to protect our communities from these devastating impacts. What's really important is that we need to ensure that the infrastructure decisions that we're going to be making take a changing climate into account so that they can be resilient in the face of rising seas, heat waves, wildfires, and these more extreme weather events. Or we're going to be wasting limited funds and, worse, putting public safety and the environment and the economy at risk. We also need to continue to move forward and utilize clean energy and energy efficiency to both build up our economy and reduce the emissions that are driving climate change. We need a 21st century electrical grid that's more secure, reliable, clean, efficient. Our current grid is aging, it's inadequate, and it's unable to deliver some of the most cost-effective clean energy resources to consumers, like wind from the Plain States. We all know, I think, that the rapid growth of clean, renewable energy is great for our environment, and it's also great for creating jobs all across the country. The data show that. Along with investment in cleaner energy, we need to be upgrading our transmission and distribution systems, and we need to implement a smart grid technologies that will help us manage the electricity supply, demand, and use of electricity in real time. So win, 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 and win again. Reduce air and water pollution, protect human health, ensure that we're ready for the next hurricane or extreme weather event, and take the opportunity to create quality, family-sustaining jobs with fair wages, good benefits for workers all across our nation. So what I heard today from our elected leaders on the phone is that they're ready. I hope that others are ready, too, to fulfill their promise and bring forward the investments that we need to give America at least a B grade, because we don't have any time for another failing grade.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. Last but not least, I have the distinction of introducing Jim Boland. He's the president of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Jim?
Thank you very much, Kim, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate being part of this effort. So, our building stock is part of our infrastructure. For every dollar spent on building efficiency, $2 is saved in new power generation and distribution infrastructure. Building efficiency is a key part of any strategy to reduce energy and greenhouse emissions. Investment in building efficiency will also create thousands of jobs in construction and building operations, providing opportunities for building owners to create well-paying, quality jobs in the community. However, when we make these investments, it's important to implement policies that ensure the jobs created are good jobs with fair wages and benefits and protections for the workers on the jobs. A few of the policy recommendations in the report making the grade 2 get right to the heart of the matter. We can achieve good jobs by enforcing Davis-Bacon provisions that ensure workers are paid prevailing wages on public work projects and utilizing project labor agreements, PLAs, a collective bargaining tool, establishing terms and conditions for employment on the projects, and implementing community benefits agreements that help ensure local people are employed for projects. Most of these jobs require specialized skills to fully utilize the benefits of green building systems. And as a result, communities need to invest in creating skill standards for all workers, along with apprenticeship and training programs for construction and maintenance workers. We should also enhance workforce training and development programs to expand the number of skilled workers in new and existing industries and increase economic opportunities for communities and local workers, especially for people of color and low-income communities. If we're going to repair America, let's do it the right way. Creating family-sustaining jobs, safe workplaces, reducing greenhouse gas pollution, getting our system ready to tackle the toughest weather challenges, and building a foundation, brick by brick and beam by beam, Leo, that will ensure American competitiveness in the global marketplace for generations to come. And with that, I will turn it back to Kim. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim. We're now going to open the call up to questions, so please indicate to the operator if you have a question. Actually, operator, if you could join us to give instructions on how people can ask questions, please do so.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. So once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone now.
And just to quickly recap, as people are dialing in for questions, this report we have released today, it can be found online on our website at bluegreenalliance.org/makingthegrade2. The report finds that investing the estimated $2.2 trillion in America's infrastructure in these sectors could improve our overall grade from a D plus to a B grade, coupled with investments in our natural gas distribution systems as well. It has the potential to support or create an additional 14.5 million job years, and that means a job that employs a person full-time for 1 year across the U.S. economy and adds $1.66 trillion to our GDP over the next 10 years. So this is a win-win-win, as Kathleen Russ pointed out and many of our speakers have pointed out today. And now we're open up to questions, so I'll turn it back to the operator.
And I'm showing no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for all our speakers for joining the call and the reporters that were able to join the call today. And feel free to follow up with our office if you have any additional questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.